cares, aren't you? So thankful the Lord cares for us as He does, and so gracious and kind to us, for sure. Well, take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 4, if you would, verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And we want to look tonight at the lesson from the storm. It's certainly been rightfully said that we are either headed to a storm, or we're in a storm, or we're just coming out of a storm. And that's so true. Many times in the Christian life, if you're saying, well, preacher, I don't have a storm right now, well, just hang on. There's one coming around the corner for you. But, the storm certainly didn't take the Lord by surprise. He's the master of the wind. I mean, He has His way. The Bible says He hath His way in the whirlwind. And I don't believe that the Lord just created the earth sort of like, wound up a clock and just let it go. I don't think God created the world that way. I think He is very much large and in charge every day. And the Bible says He causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. And so we at Bologna, the just, we've been getting our rain. So how are you unjust doing? You getting your rain too? I'll just see if you're listening. Just see if you're paying. Though no doubt it did the disciples. And that's of course us. From our perspective, we feel things are out of control rather quickly. And God has a purpose in that. He certainly has a higher purpose in that. And I believe He did for the disciples as well, taking them through this storm, and then for them to then enter into the country of the Gadarenes in chapter 5. There was a whole nother lesson there. A whole nother challenge for them to see. And that's just like the Lord does us. He's always, I believe, trying to equip us and prepare us for a greater challenge, a greater work. It certainly wouldn't be the other way. I mean, I don't think He wants to expect less of us. I don't think, it just doesn't make sense that He would want to equip us and prepare us to do less for Him, and to have less responsibility, to have less duty. But the Lord, in fact, told His disciples, He said, "Greater work shall ye do, because I go to the Father." And so their mind was baffled as they thought about that. But you look with me here in Mark chapter 4, the Gospel of Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. And the Bible says, "In the same day, when the evening was come, He said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake Him, and saith unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. There was a great calm. And He said unto them, Why are you so fearful, and how is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. And said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" We certainly do, as the human race certainly does God an injustice when we refer to nature as Mother Nature. There is no mother nature. It's the God of creation. And He is declared to us as the Father, not the Mother, by the way. Amen. There's a great move on to really demonize manhood. And it's very frightening, is it not? To see the push that's on to feminize men and take away their masculinity. And of course, there's Bibles, by the way, that does that with God. Take away his identity as male, as the Bible declares it to us. Well, there's great lessons to be learned in this storm, just as there is in the storms that we go through. And of course, as we preach this, we're using that term storm, not just necessarily meaning a thunderstorm that may come and go, or a tornado, or those kind of things. But we think about the storms of life that come. News of failed health, or maybe a financial crisis that happens, or a relationship that is broken down, or other things that would happen that would cause us great distress and anxiety. So who hasn't experienced those things? Well, we all have. It's all a part of life, isn't it? We're certainly not immune to the things of life. The songwriter said, "When upon life's billows you're tempted and tossed, do not be discouraged, thinking all is lost." And that song challenges us to count our blessings. But again, that analogy is used of storms. The songwriters often use storms to describe life and the things of life. The suddenness of it as it rolls up, the uncertainty of it, of what's going to happen, and then of course maybe even some loss that may take place because of the storms of life. But let's break this down here tonight and maybe glean from it some things that'll help us prepare us for the storms of life. Well, first of all, we see the Lord gives a pressing command. A pressing command. Now, the Scripture identifies that it was evening. It was evening. Verse 35, the same day when even was come. Well, normally that's a time to settle in for the evening. That's not normally a time to launch out into the sea and to take a journey. They didn't have the navigation that we have, didn't have the technology or even the lighting that we would enjoy in our day. I mean, everything back then was primitive. And so it doesn't to the natural mind make sense to go out at evening across the sea and to make this voyage because of the uncertainty of storms upon the sea. But that was the pressing command. Let us pass over the other side. Not in the sunshine of life, but in the darkness of life. Pass over, move on, and go forward. We often miss God's will for our life because we're looking for that easy voyage. We're looking for smooth sailing. We try to avoid the more difficult and the more harsh, or maybe the uncertainty. If you are anything like me, and I trust that we're all pretty much alike, that we so often think that way. But this command was given again in the evening time when darkness was looming, and the Lord said, "Let us pass over the other side." They had already experienced a great evangelistic movement in chapter 4, a great multitude there by the seaside as the Lord taught them in parables. And so they'd already had a busy day. They'd already done much work, but yet the Lord said, there's such time. It's time to move on. It's time to pass over the other side. And which leads me to this. In Christianity, too often we're content just to sit still rather than to press forward. It's a lot easier, isn't it? A lot easier. But really the Christian call is onward Christian soldiers, marching forth to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Let us pass over the other side. Let us pass over the other side. A pressing command that the Lord gave. And see, it's easy in the storms to forget His words. It's easy to forget sometimes His commandments when the storm happens. You know, He's promised to never leave us or forsake us. Do you believe that? The Bible promises we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. God's Word says God promises that His grace is sufficient. It is sufficient. Is His grace sufficient for us to pass over through the storm? Absolutely. Will He give strength? Will He give guidance through the storms of life? Absolutely. A pressing command. Is God putting a pressing command upon you to move forward in your Christian life? The book of Hebrews scolded those Christians. Reproved them. He said, it's a time you ought to be teachers. But you have need that one teach you again the very fundamental principles. Said you're still very, very much elementary. And sadly, that could be said about us many times. The Bible says, let us go on to perfection. And this command implies that. We're going to new adventures. We're going to a greater challenge. The disciples didn't know it, but there was a man full of demons over there in Gadara. A madman. Possessed man, full of the devil, who was tormenting that territory. We wouldn't naturally want to get into that, would we? By nature, we'd want to avoid that. We'd try to go around it and push it aside, but the Lord said, that's where we're going. We're pressing on over to the other side. Well, the Bible says that a great storm came up. Verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. They was attempting to do something for the Lord, and immediately there was opposition. It's so often that way. Paul talked about how the devil hindered him. He talked about a great door was open unto him. But he said, you know what? There's many adversaries. With the opportunity, there's adversaries. With the objection, the goal, there's those that oppose it. And friend, the truth is, if you're not experiencing that opposition, you may want to turn around and begin to go the other way. Because you mark it down plain and straight. Anytime a Christian decides to go for the Lord, you're going to find opposition. Opposition. James said it would be that way. The trying of your faith, he said, worketh patience. So the fact is, our faith is going to be tried. It's going to be tried. The Lord, when He rebuked him, he said, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? The storm revealed their lack of faith. And does not the storms often reveal that in us? Amen? Oh me? The distress. The command was given, but presently the distress came. The trouble came. The opposition came. Are we going to quit? Are we going to press on? Are we going to say, well, that's just the way it's going to be? So I guess we'll just have to quit. By the way, that's what Job's wife, that's the way she dealt with it. Did she not? But Job, I've had enough. I think you've had enough. I think you should quit. Curse God and die, she said. That'd be the best thing for you to do. Really? No. That'd sure give the devil a victory, wouldn't it? You ever thought about giving up? Did it ever cross your mind? I'd lie to you if I said I've never thought about giving up. I find I'm pretty weak. At times I'm pretty weak. But hey, I tell you, it's good to know that all things work together for good. Amen. For them that love God are called according to His purpose. I mean, here was a storm testing their faith. Here was a storm in opposition trying to defeat, to stop. But it had a higher purpose, of course. There was a greater purpose in this storm. Not only the distress came, but the disciples, so often like we do, they failed to see their divine protection. In times of storm, it's easy to overlook the goodness of God. We so often get our eyes upon the storm rather than the master of the storm. We so often focus upon our problem instead of the God that has got a plan. We overlook many times just God's daily goodness. The Bible says it's by His mercy that we're not just consumed. I mean, God gives us mercy every day, doesn't He? Grace and mercy every day. I like the little story I heard a long time ago about a man who lost his business. He was financially broke. He lost everything. He was in such distress that he contemplated taking his own life. As he focused on everything that he lost, and he began to cry out, "I'm ruined, I'm ruined." And unbeknownst to him, his little daughter was in the other room, and she had heard him saying, "I've lost everything." As he sat with his hands in his face and he sobbed, the thought of taking his life rolling over in his mind, "I'm lost, I've lost everything. I'm ruined." This beautiful little daughter came up to him and she throwed her arms around his neck. She said, "Daddy, you hadn't lost everything. You've still got me." Whew. I like that story, don't you? I tell you, in the storms, many times we overlook God's blessings. We overlook His grace. We fail to think that, listen, if it wasn't for His grace, we'd be in hell already. I mean, what can the world do to us? You say, "Well, my goodness, I might die." Well, is that so bad if you're saved? Really, think about it. Now, I don't think we should have a death wish and run out in front of a train. I'm not talking about that. But listen, Bible talk is, Paul said, "I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Now, that's Bible talk. I tell you, we're commanded to pray for the sick. I know that, and we should. We should pray for the sick, absolutely. But brothers and sisters, sometimes we get this thing out of balance. We spend more time praying to keep saints out of heaven than we do pray to keep sinners out of hell. We need to turn that thing around. Y'all catch what I'm saying? Amen? And I'm not saying not to pray. If I'm sick, I want you to pray for me. But hey, we lose perspective. We lose what's really essential, what's vital. The disciples did. Look at him. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And think about it. He had invested his life into these men. He'd given his all to these men. Day after day, he'd loved them and taught them and discipled them and cared for them. My goodness. Carest thou that we perish? What a thought. Really, what an unthinkable thought. What an indictment to land against God, that God doesn't care for us. Foolish thought. I mean, away with that. Certainly He cares. He cares more than we could ever imagine He cares. He's very much interested in the smallest details of our life. But the truth is, sometimes lessons are learned the hard way. Amen? The protection they overlooked. They said the ship is going down. Really? I mean, you've got the Lord Jesus aboard this ship, and you think she's going to go down? I mean, even the scripture describes that it was full. The waves had beat upon it. It was full. Everything about, humanly speaking, the ship should have sunk. But brother, no amount of water in all the oceans of the world could sink the ship whereupon lies the Master. Amen? Not going to happen. I mean, you get discouraged, read Romans 8 again. Read about God's protection. Read about nothing can separate us from the love of God. No amount, storm or tragedy, heartache, all of those things are meant not to hurt us, but to help us. It's kind of like Joseph learned down in Egypt as he talked to his brothers later. He said, "Now, fellas, you meant every bit of it for evil." He said, "I understand that. You hated me, you despised me, and you're trying to do away with me. And you meant it for evil." But listen to the wisdom of Joseph. He said, "But God meant it for good. God meant it for good." And brother, that'll help you through a lot of storms. That'll help you through a lot of heartache. That'll help you through a lot of disappointment and a lot of hurt to know that God has a greater purpose and a greater power. They could have not witnessed the power that was demonstrated in any other place but in the place that God had brought them to. In a ship full of water with a storm raging around them, the Master spoke to the storm. You see that? Verse 39. He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." The Bible says the wind ceased. There was a great calm. Try that sometime. Go to the ocean and tell those waves to lay still like a glass table. Just lay still, ocean. Try that. See how well you get along. But no trouble for the Lord. Amen? No trouble for the Lord. I mean, they could have never witnessed such power, but only in the midst of this storm. They could have not seen such a demonstration of the power of God like they could being in the middle of that storm. And listen, that's so much like God. That's so much like God. You know, He wants to do the supernatural. He wants to work in our life where that He gets the glory. He gets the credit. He wants to work in a way that only He could get the glory and credit for bringing us through the trouble and the trial. Well, we learn some things in a storm that we'd never learn anywhere else. But in this storm, you know, at first the disciples were scared. They were afraid of the storm. I mean, they were fearful. The Lord said that. Look at verse 40. "Why are you so fearful?" Why are you so fearful? But I'm telling you, after they seen the power of God, look at verse 41, and they feared exceedingly. They was first of all afraid of the storm, but then after they seen the demonstration of power of God, they begin to fear God. Have a reverence and a respect for God. You know that's missing today in our world. So greatly it's missing in our world. A respect, a reverence, a fear of God. There's no fear of God. Talk about our nation, our sin-cursed nation, and people so proud of their sin, and they got it all going on this month. You know, they're so proud that they're so sinful and they're so wicked, and they parade it around and just stick their nose up at God as if He doesn't exist. No fear of God. No fear to run Him down and mar His name and all that stuff. But I'm telling you, this storm taught these disciples, rather than fear the storm, it taught them to fear God and have a reverence for God. And then I mentioned earlier, you know, the fact that this storm, there really was no easy way to learn this lesson. I mean, it really couldn't be taught. It had to be experienced. I mean, the Lord could have stood by the shore and said, "Now, boys, I can just calm all that down. I can just tell that storm to go away. I can tell that sea to lay flat." But brother, when they're out there in the middle of it and they're experiencing it and they see the power of God, I'm telling you, you think they ever forgot that day? You think they ever forgot how God calmed the sea and calmed the storm? Some lessons are just have to be learned the hard way. Amen. We've got to go through it. The Lord could have delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from that fire. He could have delivered them from that fire, but he didn't do that. He delivered them through the fire. And that's so often the way God works, because He's more interested in building character than He is simply just bringing comfort to us. Now, we like comfort. Amen. You hear the air conditioner kick on? Boom, boom. You know? Hey, boy, there's comfort. We like comfort. But God's more interested in character. Mark that down. He's trying to build character in our life. So the storms of life teach us those vital lessons. And then we talked about it this morning, that He's a God. He's a God of the impossibles. He's a God of the impossibles. Again, the ship was full. I mean, it's full. And doesn't ships that are full of water sink? You know, Titanic, didn't it go down? It was unsinkable, but it went down. You know, and here's a ship that's full of water. Here's a storm that can't be passed over. It's a great storm, great waves beating upon it. These seasoned mariners said they were going to die. We're going to die. This is it. We're going to perish. And you could hear the Lord say, "I got you right where I want you. I got you right where I want you. Now you're in an impossible situation. And now you're going to see God's power." Many times, listen, we miss blessings. We miss blessings because we try to avoid that. We try to skirt it. We many times we don't stick our neck out. My daddy used to say about a turtle, he said, an old turtle, the first thing he's got to do if he's going to move, he's got to stick his neck out. You ever notice that? And I think the Lord wanting us to stick our neck out sometimes for Him. Amen. And we get to see the impossible. Well, the Lord said, "You have no faith." Look at verse 40. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? He didn't say little faith. He said, "You are demonstrating no faith whatsoever." No faith whatsoever. He's not talking to the lost world right there. He's talking to His hand-chosen men. His hand-picked disciples. Said, "Men, you're demonstrating no faith whatsoever." Now I'm telling you, we face times just like that too. When our faith is just kneeling void. No faith whatsoever. How are we going to do it, preacher? There ain't no way that can be done, preacher. Can't do it. No faith whatsoever. No faith. You know, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. It's impossible. Because we're to walk by faith and not by sight. I mean, faith is believing God when everything around us says don't. I mean, all of our natural senses says don't believe God. It just don't make sense. There's no way it can work. And we look around and everything's screaming and crying and say, just give up, quit, it's impossible. And in the midst of those circumstances, faith steps up and says, but I believe God. I believe God. I've made that statement to people. Said they'd be in a jam. And I said, well, you know, I just don't think it's going to work out. I said, well, that's true, but there's something you're missing. There's still a God in heaven. If God was dead, then probably not going to work out for you. But because God is still alive and well, we can place our faith in Him and ask for His help and His grace and pray that He'd intervene and bring help in the situation. Amen? It's believing God when everything around us says don't. Don't. I mentioned Job's wife. What a great illustration. I mean, friend, what else could have gone wrong with Job? I mean, everything. What else could have happened? I mean, how could you have hurt him any worse? He's lost everything, lost his kids, he's lost all of his finances, he's bankrupt, he's ruined, and he's lost his health. He has no health whatsoever. I mean, he's a mess. But he's still got his wife. But then she opens her mouth and reveals her foolishness. Curse God and die is the best she could do. That's the best she could do. Curse God and die. That's all I got for you. Curse God and die. But then watch Job's faith. Watch Job's faith. Thou speakest as one of the foolish women of Israel. Shall we not see good of God and then the bad also? Everything around Job said, don't trust God, don't trust God, don't believe in God, don't do it. But in the midst of all that, no wonder God put him in the Bible. Amen? I mean, how would you have done? How would I have done? I'm afraid I'd have failed the test. Everything had crashed. Job said, no, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me. What a statement. Amen. What a statement. Though God steps out of heaven, I mean, of all the things that happen, though God steps out of heaven, gets right here in front of me, and draws a sword, and thrusts the sword through me, said, though he slay me, I'm still going to trust him. Amen. That's the kind of faith Abraham had. Hey, brothers and sisters, that's the kind of faith we need to have. And it was the storm that revealed the lack of faith. But I believe the lesson was learned. And these disciples never forgot God's power. Well, look at one more verse and I'll be through. Look at chapter 5. Okay? We've read chapter 4, now look at chapter 5. It begins with and. Just a continuation of the story. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. You say, preacher, what's the significance of that? Because Jesus said in verse 35, let us pass over unto the other side. Amen? Mother, get a word from God and hang your soul on it. Amen? Live by it. And if you need to or have to, die by it. It's God's Word. Amen? Say, well, man, I may die. Hey, that ain't so bad. That ain't so bad. Just stepping into glory. Amen? Now again, you say, well, you're going crazy. I'm just trying to talk like the Bible talks. That's how the Apostle Paul talked. Let's get the right perspective. God's in charge of this business. Amen? He's in charge. And we're not to tempt Him. We know that. We're not to tempt the Lord. That's what the devil tried to get Jesus to do. Cast yourself down. No. We're not going to be tempting God. We'll be doing that. We're just going to be trusting Him. Day by day. Amen? Day by day. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your goodness, Your grace. We thank You that You have a higher calling, a higher purpose through the storms of life. Lord, to teach us to trust, to teach us to believe. Lord, to reveal the weakness many times that's in us, that You want to strengthen our faith, strengthen our resolve, even to the point, as Job said, though You slay us, yet will we trust You. Help tonight, Lord. Help our little faith, our lack of faith. Bless tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.